All right, it's good to be here this morning and back at Calvary. Been about a month since we've been here, so it feels like we've been here haven't been here in a long time, but we're glad to be here. We'll have to leave right after the service, before the meeting. We're not able to stay again this time. And I hate that, because one of the best things about coming to Calvary is the fellowship that we have after the service. But I was already designated to preach at a church called Reed's Mill. It's a historical church over in Madrid, Maine, about an hour away. And we'll be there at 2 o'clock today. And that was before Rob called me about this having been here today. We're excited about preaching at Madrid. First time I've ever preached there. But like I said, it's a historical church. They have different denomination preachers come in there, Lutherans and Presbyterians and Methodists. But they opened the door for me, and they didn't give me no restrictions on what to speak. And so if that's the case, then I'm always welcome to go, as long as they don't tell me what I have to preach. But I think last week a woman was preaching there, which I don't agree with women preachers, but I'm okay with going somewhere where they let me preach. And it's a good open door for there. And it's a community-type church where just people from the community come. And I think most of the people that go there are either locals or either they're already designated to their own churches, but it's a great opportunity for me to preach. So pray for me as I go there today. It's about an hour drive. So thank you for praying for my mother. My mother's still not doing well. Mom's got to a place where she just doesn't want to be active or eat like she should. You know, I think when you get in your mind sometimes that you thought you was going to die quicker than you really were, you start in that frame of mind. And but she's really not as bad as what she's making herself out to be. From what Rachel was able to go down there for a week, and so she got a real good feeling of what's happening with Mom. But Mom's just not helping herself. So pray for her that she'll get over the mental part. I'm not saying that she's not in pain and that she's not going through a lot. She is, but I think mentally she just needs to keep pushing. You just got to keep on going. When you're like this, you just got to keep moving. If you stop, you're going to make yourself worse than what you really are. So pray for Mom. Dad has had a hernia for years, and just a couple weeks ago, Dad's hernia finally fell out, all the way out, and he could not get it back in. He's had it out before where he pushed it back in, but this came all the way out, and he could not. So at midnight, he called my brother, and he said, "You're going to have to come stay with Mom because I got to drive myself to the hospital. I'm in just way too much pain." He hates doctors and hospitals, so for him to drive himself to the hospital was, he had to be hurting something serious. And so he drove himself to the hospital. It took three doctors, they said, to get it all back in. And they did surgery the next day. They put that mesh there and put the mesh on there and sewed him back up, and he's been doing better since. He said he had a quack doctor, though, for his appointment. He said he went to the appointment to get it looked at. Wasn't the doctor that did the surgery. He said the doctor was looking on the wrong side. He said, "Doc, it's on the other side." And he said, "I hope they everything's where it's supposed to be now." He said, "I'm not sure." He said he did. He said he did write a complaint on the doctor, and rightly so. And he said he thought that doctor was a quack for sure. So thank you for praying for Mom, and continue to pray for Dad. Dad's doing better now. Mom's got to have surgery sometime soon. They had to cancel it because of the insurance reasons, but they're going to put gels in her back where her back keeps breaking. They're going to put the gels in there to keep her from having so much pain. So pray for that. Today we'll be in Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. Very familiar passage of Scripture, the Lord's Prayer. Not the Lord's Prayer. Even though it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, do not cut me off today. The Lord's the Psalm of David here. We'll read it, and then I'm going to focus in on a certain verse. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm interested in the surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Our dear Father, I need your help. Without thee helping me, I'm just a man with words today. But Lord, if you could help me say what you've given to me in my studies, Lord, we could leave here today and say it's been good to be in the house of God. But Lord, if it's just me speaking, Lord, it'd just be another day of being in the church. Lord, I pray today you'd help me say what you'd have me to say, and don't say anything I shouldn't say. And we give you all the praise and honor for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The message title today is Two Sheepdogs. Two Sheepdogs. This surely goodness and mercy has been referred to. Some people refer to it as two angels that follow us. But I heard in my devotion time, a man mentioned that Spurgeon called these two sheepdogs. And that was all he said, so I started studying that in that light. And I'm not so sure David didn't have that in mind when he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Two sheepdogs. We know, verse number one, who's out front. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd's out front. And the shepherd is who leads us. And the sheep follow. The sheep follow the shepherd. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. We know who the shepherd is. But in Psalms 23:6 here, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I don't want to do injustice to God's attributes by calling them sheepdogs, but I want to relate that today to goodness and mercy being sheepdogs. They're following us all the days of our life. Sheepdogs are controlled by the shepherd. Sheepdogs are controlled by the shepherd. Normally, sheepdogs are controlled by a whistle. Sometimes it's a whistle. They'll know by the whistle whether to go left, right, push, slow down. But they understand the whistle of the shepherd. It'll be a different whistle sounds. They understand that. That's the way they've been trained. Or it could be the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. Their shepherd has a certain voice that they understand. It could be a certain word. Yah! Yah may mean pull to the right. You may mean pull to the left. But they know the voice. They know the voice of the shepherd. Sheepdogs do. Sometimes they said the shepherd just does hand motions. You know, whatever the hand motions is. But the sheepdog know the shepherd. They know the shepherd. They either react to the shepherd by the calls, by the voices, by the whistle, by the hand motions. They either react, or they instinctively do as they were taught to do by the shepherd. Sometimes the sheepdog just know instinctively what to do. They know if the sheep are going left, push them towards the shepherd, as we'll talk about later. But they instinctively know. And so sometimes, as we're going to see today, goodness and mercy instinctively knows what to do, but sometimes they have to be given instructions by the shepherd. Three things I want to talk to you about these sheepdogs. First, I want to look at the names of the sheepdogs. These sheepdogs have names, and they're called goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy are the two sheepdogs. Goodness is that which is pleasing, valuable, or useful. Which is pleasing, valuable, or useful. Mercy is loyal, steadfast, and unfailing love. So they have different attributes, these two sheepdogs do. Goodness is a giving dog. It gives. Mercy is a forgiving dog. Mercy is a forgiving dog. Goodness meets our needs. Mercy forgives our faults. Goodness cares for the temporal. Mercy cares for the spiritual. Goodness is to provide. Mercy is to pardon. Goodness leads to repentance. Mercy leads to regeneration. Goodness is to supply every need. Mercy is to forgive every sin. Goodness is God's hand. Mercy is God's heart. Goodness comes from the bounty of God. Mercy comes from the love of God. Mercy caused the prodigal to come back home. Mercy ran to meet him. Each one of these dogs have different attributes. Their names, goodness and mercy. And then I want to see, there's four characteristics of the two sheepdogs. Not only the goodness and mercy, there are four characteristics of these two sheepdogs. One, we see they're faithful. We see this in verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall. They're faithful. David's saying here that surely, he said in the past, every time that I've needed goodness and mercy, they've been there. Surely. And he not only follows that up with shall. Shall is even a little stronger than surely. Surely they'll be there. They've been there every time in the past. They've been there in my present. Surely they'll be there in my future. But he said they shall be. They shall be in my future. Surely they shall. These words mean without a doubt. Without a doubt. I can keep looking over my shoulder and goodness and mercy are going to be following. Surely and shall be there. It is an exclamation of confidence, not self-confidence, but Christ's confidence that they'll be there. Not hopefully or perhaps, but surely they're going to be there. David is thinking of the times he fled from Saul and he fled from Absalom. He said, every time I fled, he said, they've come with me. They've been on my heels. Surely goodness and mercy has followed me. He's thinking of the times that he sinned, and we know David's committed some great sins in his life. But on the hills, when he's asked, Psalms 51, I think it is, when he asked for forgiveness, he said, mercy was on my heel. Mercy was on my heels. And it was there. Mercy followed me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy followed. No doubt they will continue to be there in David's future and in your future. Surely and shall are the characteristics of these two dogs. They will be there. And then they follow. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow. Follow. They're not running ahead. They're not running aside. But they're following us. The shepherd's leading us, remember? But they're following us. The company are to go with. Most of the time we do not like to be followed. Most of the time, you don't like to be followed. You think of it as the good guy following you, which is the police. I don't like when policemen get behind me. And I don't like to be followed by them. Whether they got the lights on or not have the lights on, I don't like to be followed by them. I could be obeying the rules, doing everything I'm supposed to do, but it's like, is there something there that I missed? Is my taillight out? Is my taillight out, or is, something I missed, that I put my blinker on right. You know, you don't like to be followed. We just don't like to be followed. And not only by the good guys, but the bad guys, the predators. Nobody wants to be followed for long. You start worrying about, is this guy a predator? Is this guy one that caused me harm? Nobody likes to be followed. It makes us uptight. But when these two dogs are following you, you don't have to be uptight. You don't have to be worried. Matter of fact, you need to be at ease. Because we're going to need them. I'm glad when I look around and goodness and mercy are on my tail. Because I need them. I need them a lot of times. We'll talk about them here in a minute, all the times I need them. But I sure do need goodness and mercy following me. I rely on them quite often. So not only are they faithful, but they follow. Where the shepherd goes, the sheep follow. But also the sheepdogs follow as well. It's just a straight line. Shepherd, sheep, sheepdogs follow. Goodness and mercy. And here in Psalms 23, we get some times when they follow. It's verse number 2, they follow in green pastures. Green pastures. Restful and peaceful days. goodness and mercy are there. I'm thankful they're there for restful days. Mercy, goodness and mercy are there on restful days. But also, beside the still waters in verse number 2, when calm and comfortable days are at my bedside, when everything's good, goodness and mercy are there. And then on verse number 3, paths of righteousness. Those are the days where I'm close to God. Close to God days. I'm glad that goodness and mercy are there. But, verse number 4, the valley of the shadow of death. These are dark and death looming days. My mother is in the dark days of her life. Death is looming. We have a friend that has the same cancer my mother has. He's expected to die here in the next couple days. He's not eating. His body's been shut down. He's expected to die. He's had this for about 2 years. So my mom doesn't have very long. Death, dark and death looming days, but goodness and mercy are still there. My mom can still look around and say, goodness and mercy are still here. They haven't left me. They're still following me all the days of my life. Verse 5 says, the presence of mine enemies. Nervous and no rest days. When you're in the presence of your enemies, you're nervous. There's no rest there when you're in the presence of your enemies. You don't sleep too good when you're around your enemies. But even on those days, your goodness and mercy are still there. And then verse 6 says, all the days of my life. We'll talk about this a little more in a minute. But past, present, and future days, goodness and mercy are going to follow me. Not only are they faithful and they follow, but we see these two dogs are friends. They're friends. And we find that in the word and. It says goodness and mercy. They're companions. They go together. Kind of like John and Rachel. They're companions. They go together. Matt and Brandy. Goes together. Sounds pretty good, right? Yeah. Rob and Julia. Goes good. It goes good. And. There's a word and there. They go together. They're friends. Love and joy. Authority and power. Grace and peace. They go hand in hand. They're friends. The and represents the need for both. I need goodness and I need mercy. What one doesn't take care of, the other will. Goodness blesses us with heaven, but mercy keeps us out of hell. You know, could you imagine having mercy to keep us out of hell, but we had no heaven to go to because God didn't give us the goodness? Or the vice versa. You know, we had goodness without mercy. Goodness heals you when you are sick. Mercy keeps you from contracting a disease, what we deserve. Goodness helps us get a job. Mercy helps us from being terminated. You say, well, you haven't done anything to be terminated. You know, really, mercy keeps us from being terminated quite often. If you think back on your life, you've done something that you probably deserve to be terminated for somewhere in your life. You may be a great employee, but there's times you took advantage of it. And mercy kept you from being terminated. If he was really a dictator, if he was really a dictator, your boss man was really a dictator, he could have fired you for something. Goodness with no mercy leaves me with guilt. Goodness with no mercy leaves me with guilt. Mercy with no goodness leaves me helpless. I'm glad I have mercy and goodness. Goodness hugs you. Mercy forgives you. We talked about a while ago, the prodigal. The prodigal. If he would have came out, if the father would have came out and met the prodigal that day and he would have gave him a hug, but he would not have forgave him. He wouldn't have wanted to stay at the father's house. Which that's what he thought he was going to get. He thought the best I could do is be served at my father's house. Is that right? And that would have been goodness. That would have been goodness. But his daddy come out and hugged him. That was goodness. His daddy hugged him. But mercy forgave him. Put the robe on him and put the ring on his finger and got the fatted calf. Goodness and mercy. I'm glad I have both. And then, not only is he faithful, follow these characteristics of the sheepdogs are faithful, they follow, they're friends, but as I mentioned a while ago, they're forever. They're forever. All the days of my life, the Bible says there in verse 6, all the days of my life, past, present, and future days, goodness and mercy has been there. Goodness and mercy have been there. Goodness and mercy were there actually before I got saved. Think about that for a while. Goodness and mercy were there when I got saved. Goodness and mercy have been there since I got saved. And I believe goodness and mercy. I believe these two sheepdogs, when I die, the shepherd will come and take me home. And just like here, I believe these two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, are going to follow me all the way into heaven. And I believe they'll be there to remind me often, I am here because of goodness and mercy from the shepherd. They'll be reminding me. And that's what I'll be spending my days doing in heaven, I believe. I believe I'll be thinking about the goodness and mercy that the shepherd had for me. And I'll be, holy, holy, holy art thou God. Thank you for giving me the shepherd. I think that's what we're going to be doing. And I think I'm going to be happy doing so. I think we ought to get used to doing it here a little bit. Get in practice and realizing he's the shepherd. And then there's seven duties of these two sheepdogs. There's seven duties of these two sheepdogs. I'll go through them pretty fast. Number one, they help steer the flock in the right direction. They help steer the flock in the right direction. Sometimes dumb sheep do not pick their head up and follow the shepherd. Sometimes if they keep their head down, they'll follow another sheep. So if the front sheep get off track and don't follow the shepherd, what happens? They start going to the right or start going to the left. Well, what happens? Goodness and mercy. These two sheepdogs will pull in. Shepherd's going this direction. The flock's going this direction. Goodness and mercy will come over here and start pushing them back towards the shepherd, getting them back in line. And I'm glad, goodness and mercy. When I start getting out of line a little bit, they start heading me in the right direction. Goodness and mercy start pointing me in the right direction. Psalm 78:52 says, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He started pushing us in the right direction. Goodness and mercy do that quite often. God's goodness and God's mercy push me back in the right direction. Not only do they help steer the flock in the right direction, but they help keep flock closer together. They help keep the flock together. A loose flock, if a flock starts getting too loose, it becomes vulnerable to the enemy. You know, you get a sheep that goes out there a little stray a little bit, and the wolves and the predators are coming by. They see one out there by itself, they'll go out there and snatch him up. And so the sheepdog want to help keep that flock in a tight group. Keep them in a tight group. Because when you're in a tight group, you're not as vulnerable to the enemy. And I think that's what goodness and mercy does for us. It keeps us together. It keeps us together. You know, sometimes over here, somebody needs a little bit of goodness. And so the sheepdog comes and gives a little goodness on this side. And it may come through one of the other sheep, one of you guys. Somebody over here might need a little mercy. Maybe they've done something that, you know, we're in a small town here in Stratton, right? Somebody messes up, we all know about it. And so somebody over here might need a little mercy. And they come into the house of God and you come and give them a little mercy. God forgive you. God's forgiven you, so have I. So have I. And they might need a little forgiveness over here on this side. Mercy on this side and forgiveness. Goodness. Goodness and mercy. And it brings the flock closer together. Keeps you from being so vulnerable to the predators. You know, because if you don't have that forgiveness and you get out a little bit, you say, well, they're not going to treat me down in the church or house like they should. I think I'm going to stay out of church this Sunday. Well, you become vulnerable to the enemy. You become vulnerable to the enemy. Or if you start thinking that they haven't been good to me, you start getting a little vulnerable to the enemy. You know, you start thinking that they're not as good to me as they are to the so-and-so. You become vulnerable to the enemy. So goodness and mercy comes in and gets the flock closer together, tightens us up. That's where we need to be. We need to be tighter together. Helps keep the flock closer together. 1 Peter 5, 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And then number three, they are continually pushing us to get closer to the shepherd. You know, sometimes the flock gets behind, and the sheepdog realize they can see up ahead, and they say, "Well, we're getting a little bit too far from the shepherd." Even the sheepdog rely on the shepherd's protection. So they start pushing the whole herd. "Let's get closer, guys. Let's get closer. Let's get closer." And that's what these sheepdogs do. They cause the flock, goodness and mercy, come and push us closer to the shepherd. Pulls me closer to the shepherd. I'll say at the end of this message today, but there's a lot of times God's been good to me. A lot of times God's been merciful to me. And it causes me just to love them more. It makes me want to get closer to them. And I realize sometime in my life, that goodness could have only came from God. It might have been somebody used as an instrument for it to flow through them, but it had to come to God, because only God knew that I needed that at that time. And that goodness came from God. And what did that do? That pushed me closer to the shepherd. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." And then there are times when the sheepdog had to bring the stray back home. You know, sometimes, I was reading this, most of the time we read in the scripture where the shepherd goes and gets the sheep, correct? But there's sometimes, they say, maybe a first offense from this sheep, you know. Because most of the time when the shepherd has to go get the sheep, they say a lot of times he'll break the legs. And that's when you see the shepherd over the sheep over the shepherd's shoulders, where he's had to punish that sheep. But a lot of times, sometimes when there's first offense and they just get a little ways out there, he'll send the sheepdog, go get him. He said, "Go get him. It's their first offense. They have never done this before. They don't know no better. Goodness and mercy, go get him. Go get him and bring him back. And so sometimes goodness and mercy, the sheepdogs have to go out there and get the stray and bring them back home. And it's not always because they did something bad. I was looking at a picture the other day, and it had one of the sheep got behind because it had what's a baby sheep called? Lamb, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. A lamb. But the sheep had to stay behind because it had a lamb. And so the sheepdog that was missing, the shepherd knew it was missing, so he sent the sheepdog, go find the sheep, it's gone. And so when the sheepdog got there, it realized that it had a lamb, and the reason it was gone. And normally, what the sheepdog has to be pretty aggressive to get that sheep back, he has to start biting on the legs, getting it to speed up and get back to the... Of course, with this one, he was gentle. This sheepdog was real gentle, but with a lamb, because they realized it wasn't nothing bad, the reason the sheep got away. It was because of something good. It couldn't help. But either way, goodness and mercy brought that sheep back to the fold. Brought him back to the fold. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah 53:6. And then I thought about this one. They hold the flock together when it seems the shepherd is gone. You know, sometimes the shepherd, as we read in the Bible, has to leave to go get the lost sheep. But them sheepdogs stay there and hold that flock together. You know, I was thinking about Stratton. You're all without a shepherd right now, an under-shepherd, that's what a pastor's called. But goodness and mercy are holding you together. Holding you together. And but you know, the shepherd's never really gone. He still knows where you are. The shepherd still knows where you are. He knows where you are. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And that's where you're at. That's where you're at as a church. But right now, goodness and mercy are holding you together. Goodness and mercy are holding the flock together while the shepherd seems to be gone. And then they spur an individual slow sheep to catch up with the flock. I seem to be that sheep sometimes. I mean, we talked about it a few minutes ago. The herd gets behind, right? The whole flock gets behind the shepherd, and they push the whole flock. But sometimes there's just one individual sheep that gets lazy. He gets lazy, and he gets behind. Well, that sheepdog pushes him. Get on up with the flock. Get in there and get in the flock. And that seems to be me. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes I get weary in well-doing. I really, really do. Out here just a couple weeks ago, I was really, really weary. I just about come to the end. But goodness and mercy come push me a little bit. God showed me a little goodness, a little mercy, a lot of mercy, to tell you the truth. God showed a lot of mercy. And them sheepdogs pushed me back into the fold and back into the flock. Ain't you glad for goodness and mercy? I'm glad goodness and mercy are following me. And then these two sheepdogs allow us to rest at night. There comes a time when you rest beside in the green pastures. Sheep don't like to sit down, but the shepherd every now and then say, lay down here in the green pasture. Get down, lay, rest. It's time to rest. And why can we rest? Because the shepherd's there, but also the sheepdogs are there. The sheepdogs are there, and they stay close. They stay close enough while we're resting that if a predator was to come by, them sheepdog, you can just imagine, sheepdog pounces up. I smell something. I hear something. Something's out there. And so goodness and mercy protects you while you sleep. So much so that Lamentation says this, 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. When I wake up in the morning, I look to my left, mercies there still. He didn't leave me throughout the night. When I look to the right, goodness is still there. How I know that? Because I put my leg out of the bed and my feet touch the ground and it still works. How about that? That's goodness, right? And it's mercy that I didn't die throughout the night. Because if I'd have got what I should have got through while I was sleeping, he should have took me on out. But I'm not scared to go to bed because goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. They're there when I wake up in the morning. Goodness and mercy are there. Aren't you glad they're there for you? I'm not the only one that mercy and goodness are protecting in this room today. They're protecting us, watching over us even as we sleep. I got just a couple more minutes. 7 minutes till 12. I'm doing good, Kurt. I was thinking about this morning, and I wrote these things down. You know, goodness and mercy was all over us in South Carolina. We were being blessed there, and God was good to us. I don't have time to tell you all the things that God did for us in South Carolina, but God had us come to Maine. But when we came to Maine, you know what? Goodness and mercy followed us. This is just going to be for me and Rachel. Y'all just have to listen in, okay? But because this is going to be personal for us. But goodness and mercy followed us to Maine. They didn't leave us when we came to Maine. I'm telling you, if God called me to Africa tomorrow, I could go to Africa. Guess who's following me? Goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Surely they will. Surely they will. They followed me this far. They're going to keep following me. We came to a church. Now, think about this now. I didn't know this church, didn't know this pastor. But when we got to church here, we fell in love with the church. We fell in love with the people, and they fell in love with us. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. goodness and mercy followed us here. Because we could have easily came into a place where we just didn't get along with somebody. Could easily happen. But that didn't happen. We jailed with these people. Me and Rachel both, we had jobs before we ever come to Maine. Now, what's the chances of that? I got a job to the point where I had to come up here and start working at the mill in New Vineyard. And I had to come up here 6 weeks prior to her because they wanted me to come to start working. They said they needed somebody right away to work on the CNC machines. And so I had a job 6 weeks before they got here. I had a job before I ever got to Maine. I moved up here because I needed to go to work. She's a school teacher. She didn't want to work in public school. A little small private school in Farmington that offered her a job before she got here. She had a job before she got here. How about that? That was goodness and mercy following us. They were still following us. Let me tell you about some things that happened. We didn't know nothing about winters. We knew nothing about winters, okay? 2 inches of snow closes our town down. I mean, I am not kidding. I mean, school's canceled for the day because of 2 inches of snow in South Carolina. We knew nothing about winter. And so we come up here with two cars that were not all-wheel drive, not four-wheel drive. Just regular cars. That's all we needed down there. We didn't even drive in 2 inches of snow, so we didn't need them. And so we said, like, what are we going to do? We can't our first year here, we were making no money. She worked at this little private school. I worked at the mill. Mill didn't pay me nothing. We were making no money. We were really poor. We were living off ends meet at that time. And we didn't know what we was going to do. We couldn't afford new cars. And so she had a grandparents of kids that she from her school there. She worked at a little private school. Some grandparents said, I want to give you snow tires. And so they gave her snow tires. Just gave her snow tires. Goodness and mercy was following us. You're going to think this is terrible, I'm getting ready to tell you. But it wasn't terrible because it was goodness and mercy. I didn't think of it when it happened. I was leaving the mill. The mill had one of these big old fence gates, pipe this big around, and on the end of the pipe had a flat part that hooked to the other one, and they put a lock through, a chain through, right? That thing come out, and it was sharp. I was picking up a water bottle in the floorboard of my Jeep. I had a black Jeep, just like the gray one that I have now. I had a black Jeep, no four-wheel drive, no nothing. When I went to pick up my truck, my Jeep moved over, my hands moved over like this. That gate hit the side of my driver's door. It ripped off the back end of my Jeep. It ripped off the back door and the back quarter panel. I mean, it's like it peeled it back like a sardine can. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I got out and looked at it. I was like, whoa, what just happened? And then some friends of ours on the body shop, Brian's body shop, they go to church with us, Brian Fletcher. And so I drove it down there, and I said, oh, you won't believe what just happened. He said, well, I can see what just happened. And I was like, I was embarrassed. I mean, it was just, we hadn't been here long. I was embarrassed by it. It was just crazy. Craziest thing that ever happened. I couldn't believe how it happened so fast. But insurance totaled the car, totaled the Jeep. Gave me enough money. I went and bought, I think I had to put $1,000 with that money that the insurance gave me. I was able to go buy a four-wheel drive Jeep just like the one I had, but it was silver instead of black. And it had 20,000 less miles on it. But I was able to go pay for $1,000. And I had $1,000 to be able to do that with. Now, that's a crazy incident. But I had a four-wheel drive. I had a four-wheel drive Jeep going into that winter. I didn't plan that. I would have never planned that because I could have got killed. But God's goodness and mercy. You say that he didn't have anything to do with that. You can think what you want. I'm just telling you, that's what happened. And we were good. first 2 years we were here, we didn't pay for us. We were just burning wood. That's how we heated our house. And I didn't pay for a stick of wood first 2 years I was here. People would just come to our house, drop off wood. First 2 years. Third year, I think I bought some blocks. There would be people come by my house, strangers, and plow my driveway. Strangers. Goodness and mercy followed me. Old boy said, I have a snowblower. First year I was here. He said, it runs, but he said, it needs a little work. He said, I'll give it to you for $25. I said, I'll take it. I need something to get the snow up. I did about $20 worth of parts on it. It ran like a charm. It was heavy, though. It was a big one. It was heavy. Since then, I got rid of it. But it worked for the first 3 years we were here. God, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Love offerings. We had money show up in the. We didn't know where it come from. Church, we needed some money. We didn't know it. We didn't mention anybody in the church. Just decided we were gonna take up a love offering for us one time. I'm telling you, we didn't have any money then, and they gave us enough money to keep us afloat. We didn't tell anybody we needed money, but God knew that. God knew that. I walked into Rennie's one day, and they had a job application. I'm over 12 o'clock now. Sorry, Kurt. I walked into Rennie's one day, and they had a thing for an MIT manager in training position at Rennie's. And Rachel said, you ought to put in for that. I said, I can't get that. She said, you need to put in for it. I put in for it, went and interviewed, got the job. First person that I know of, and I've tried to ask some people, first person that ever went from MIT to a store manager. Normally you have to go to MIT to assistant store manager to a manager. But in a year and a half, I became a store manager. Goodness and mercy followed me. Rachel started a little school. And this year she's 45 plus. God's given us a little school. She's able to teach the kids about God. A little private school she went to, they said they were Christian, but they didn't really push God. But she's able to do that. I told you about the little girl that got saved, didn't I? Well, that little girl's mother got saved about 2 weeks later. And then another family that they had told about the school, they started coming to the school last year. And the man stood in the doorway. And he said, I'm conservative in my politics. And he said, I don't like where the public school's going. The reason I'm putting my kids here. But he said, I care less about that God thing or the church thing. He said, I care less about it. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said. And his wife supposedly was saved. But hadn't lived right in many years. He come into our church, tattoos all down his arm, and a big old beard. And he said, I'll give it a try one time. He said, that's not for me. But he come in and we welcomed him. I was telling Matt earlier, we come in and welcomed him. We just loved on him. He said, I feel something different there than I've been feeling at the other church I went to one time. He didn't like it. So he said, I'll go back. He came back, and he came back. 6 or 7 weeks, he came back. Out of the blue, you can say it's out of the blue. He was in the army, and the man he went in the army with, he said he knew he was a Christian. The only man he knew in the army that was a Christian. He lived right, acted right, taught right. And he said, I always respected that man, but he said, I didn't want what that man had. I respected him because I knew he was real. He said, 6 weeks after coming to church, he said, I hadn't talked to that man in years. He called me on the phone. And he said, it's amazing you called me. He said, I've been going to church for the last 6 weeks. He said, I realize I'm lost and I need to be saved. And that man that lived in the military in front of him got to lead him to the Lord on the phone. And his wife, they came over to our house the other night. His wife says, he gets up at 4:30 every morning and starts reading his Bible. She said, I feel ashamed. I've been saved all these years and I don't do what he's doing. He's made a total change in his life. They went on vacation the other week. This was last Sunday, right? Last Sunday, they went on vacation. And on Sunday morning, where they normally would come back Sunday afternoon from a vacation, Sunday morning at church time, there come a truck with a camper. They closed their vacation down so they could come back to church. This is a man that said, I don't want nothing to do with God or church. Just a few. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy have followed us. I got to see that. My son got to see that. I get to come to Stratton. I've enjoyed my time here. This is goodness and mercy for me. I've enjoyed being here. And you know, last year I got to go to Montana to preach a revival. First time I've ever been to Montana. Goodness and mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let's pray. Our dear Father, Lord, we thank you for the good service we've had this morning. Lord, I thank you for touching me this morning. I needed your help. Lord, I pray that you make it real to us, how real you are to us, and that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Lord, you're a good, good shepherd. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.